Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father Antonio Carvajo, a priest of the Diocese of Columbus. We're continuing our conversation on the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary as our model for discipleship. Today, we're going to continue our conversation with the next part of Our Lady's story, her visitation. But let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you teach us through Our Lady to be open to you, to your workings in our life, to say yes to your will and to your call in our life. We ask, O Lord, that we may generously and more generously respond this day to that call. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
So, last we spoke, Father, we talked about the Annunciation, where we clearly see Mary as a disciple, as a model of the Lord. She says yes to him, to cooperating with him, to following his will. And she's able to do so because of the freedom of the Holy Spirit and the preparation, her attentiveness in prayer and everything. In this section, you know, today I'd like to kind of talk about the visitation. So, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39 through 40, actually through 56, yeah, because the Magnificat's in that section as well. Mary, after she has just discovered that she is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, decides to cross the hill country to visit her kinfolk, Elizabeth. And, you know, if this is what I often tell people, if the Annunciation is about Mary being a disciple, the Visitation is about Mary being a missionary disciple.
Yes.
So she goes to tell Elizabeth the good news.
Yes.
You know, we hear that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, depending on how you want to pronounce it, I guess. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." That idea of Elizabeth hearing Mary's greeting, that greeting is Evangelion.
Yes.
The good news.
The good news. Yes, exactly. You know, it's beautiful to see the connection that we find between the Annunciation and the Visitation.
Mm-hmm.
And here we see how the church so beautifully presents our mission. We are called by God. I know we discussed this previously. God prepared us for a yes that goes throughout life, but a yes that is not closed in itself. Mary could have received, well, the Annunciation, "I am the mother's savior," and maybe so now concerned the first weeks of my pregnancy, so I better stay at home, and all those fair, just ways to think. But Mary was full of grace, so she's filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, which is the love itself between the Father and the Son. And Mary stood united, like the great Saint Maximilian Kolbe said, like a wife and a husband, they are one in matrimony. So much more, the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin were one, to the point that she brought up the God made flesh for us. But here it is, the point. She is filled by the Spirit of love, and her first concern is for her elderly cousin, who is also pregnant. And Mary's, the gospel says, she went in haste. So how beautiful it is in our prayers to contemplate this woman who's very balanced, who's very centered in God. And I like this expression, though it seems to be a contradiction of words, but a peaceful anxiety. Peace because God is in her. Nothing will disturb her peace. but at the same time, she's anxious for someone who is in need. At the same time, she's going haste because she needs, moved by God, and let us set aside all the other beautiful images we have about Mary, like the Ark of the New Covenant, because she's carrying, like the letter to the Hebrews says, the Ark of was carrying the staff of Aaron, the manna, and also the tablets of the commandments. Mary's carrying the author of life, who is the Word made flesh, is carrying the Christ himself, who is the bread of life, is carrying the priest, the high priest, who is Christ, her son, and she's going there to visit her. So her mission is what? To love, charity. In this love and charity, there is the love made flesh, which is Christ. So Mary's the missionary going to the living tabernacle to share with her cousin, who is in need, everything.
What really strikes me is the it's this idea that Mary is going as an act of charity to assist Elizabeth, who's in need, but she's also motivated to bring this good news, this word that she has received, to share Christ with Elizabeth.
Yes.
And it's really a lot of people, unfortunately and erroneously, set up a contrast between the churches or our Christian obligations of works of charity,
yes,
versus evangelization or proclamation of the good news. But with Mary's visit, they're both there.
Yes.
You know, when we go to help someone, to perform some sort of act of charity or, you know, some social justice mission,
yes,
It has to be accompanied by the proclamation of Jesus Christ,
sure,
and the bringing of Jesus Christ into the situation of those people's lives.
Yes, for sure. As you know, the church gives us the works of charity. We have the spiritual works and the corporate works, okay, of charity, of love. So it is, and we have to be very careful that sometimes we think that performing acts of charity, which are also necessary, and this is going to be enough, okay? So I'm good, and I'm helping others, so this is enough. No, it is not. It is not, because I am doing this. Why am I doing this? There is a power of love I cannot see, but is in my heart moving me to do something for others. But if I'm sharing something material, I have to share also the one who is moving me towards others, which means that charity, completely charity, is combined together, yes, the acts of mercy, but the interior act of mercy, which is Christ present in us. This is what the church calls us to do in a mission.
If you're tuning in to us, this is Disciples or Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Father Antonio Carvajal. We're talking about Our Lady as a model of disciple, and especially in the encounter, the visitation that she has with Elizabeth, her cousin, her relative. We've been talking about the importance of our charity, you know, taking care of those in need, that it is bringing Christ there and proclaiming his word. But as you rightly add, it is Christ who moves us. You know, Christ was the one who moved Our Lady to visit Elizabeth.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Her outreach was a proclamation of love. It was a proclamation of Jesus Christ. It was a bringing Christ into the situation. But also, it's Christ who motivates us. And I think that is one of the unique components of Christian charity. It's that it's Christ's love.
Yes, yes.
It's Christ's love. It's not human love.
Yes, not human love. Yeah. Love, and you know, in the church, we have the great St. Thomas of Aquinas, who shows us clearly that in the grace of God, our works of charity, they become supernatural. But why supernatural? it's impossible to be supernatural if there's no God. Means if I am in state of grace, I am doing something that is supernatural. It's not just a human help to someone who's in need, but a supernatural act of love towards others. And, you know, allow me just to quote something that strikes me is the beautiful words of St. John Paul II in his sixth chapter of the encyclical letter about the Eucharist, Ecclesia de Eucharistia, from 2003, when he said, Blessed Mother, the woman of the Eucharist. I just want to say this. He said, Mary is a woman of the Eucharist. In a certain sense, Mary lived her Eucharistic faith even before the institution of the Eucharist, by the very fact that she offered her virginal womb for the incarnation of God's Word. The Eucharist, while commemorating the Passion Resurrection, is also in continuity with incarnation. So, and he goes over and over, and then he says that this fiat of Mary is totally anticipated our amen when we receive the Holy Eucharist. And in this chapter, he also shows clearly that was the power of the Eucharist, woman of the Eucharist, that made Mary the full of love for others. Christ was in her. The Holy Spirit was in her. She had been prepared for this moment, but she cooperated. So the perfect disciple of God is the Blessed Virgin. Looking at her, we can learn so much and imitate her. But we need to have very clear in mind that the love of God is a gift that comes from Him, is present in us, with us, through the Holy Eucharist.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Our Lady. Draw us closer to you through her intercession. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. This has been Conversations on Discipleship with your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Today with me has been Father Antonio Carvalho. Thank you so much, Father, for joining me today. And until next time, peace and all good.